God writes a love letter to us in the sky every morning. That's the words that were sung. And you're a love letter from God, not in the sky, but in the crowds where God sends you all the time, every part of the new year and so forth. Charles Stanley, the pastor at the First Baptist Church in Atlanta for about 55 years, he says that bringing good news of the Lord to other people, how we treat him, what we say, that's life's greatest adventure. That's what he calls it, life's greatest adventure. So God is on that adventure. Jesus was doing that. He calls us to join him on a daily basis. So that's, you know, you'll have a lot of ups and downs, mountains to climb, valleys to go through, plateaus, just a peanut butter and jelly, normal every day in the new year. But you'll also be on the adventure of seeing God lead others to himself. And God will use you and I for that. So God spoke directly to you, to your soul, in introducing Jesus to yourself. He did so through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want to mention at the beginning, 12 big ways, there's so many others, that God speaks to people. And he does that on this adventure of bringing good news of Christ to people, to the crowds. And so here's 12 ways. Creation, what God has made. Everything has his fingerprint on it. Not a square inch of the universe that God doesn't say, this belongs to me. So that's the reminders out there. Conscience. I remember 7 years old, knowing right and wrong. Knowing I do a lot of wrong. I need a lot of forgiveness from God. I wonder if that's going to happen. Okay, that was that seed planted. Probably even from younger. So it's creation, conscience, the Bible. Very reliable, without error, available to us. Chances are you have more than one in your home. God calls you to go through the Bible. Meet him in his word. For in your book revealed, I see you, Lord. We look in the Bible, show me my sin, show me my Savior. Okay, so he speaks to us through the Bible. Speaks to us through the body of Christ, that is other believers. Most of what you learned most likely came through another Christian. So the folks around you are, you know, they build you up in the faith. That's a good thing. Family, that's a big deal where God speaks to you through. Friends, still the number one way to bring good news to the world, person to person. Okay, you be a friend to them. Singers, you all, and singing choir, singers, leaders, and so on. Teachers, pastors, authors, a lot of good books out there that talk about the Lord. Media. Media is a big deal. Every media that the Lord allowed us to have, from the printing press to person to computer, used by God. Cell phones, you know. A lot. I think there's probably 25% of you do the cell phone. I'm reading my Bible today on my cell phone. That's, you know, that's a vehicle. And then all people. Fingerprint of God on their life. Made in God's image. So Apostle Paul got so excited about all the ways God draws people to himself. He said this in Colossians. This gospel, this good news, has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. So it's like God's on the adventure. He's getting the news out. We get to join him with a more specific good news, Jesus and his love. And so how did Jesus approach the real need of people for salvation as he saw the crowds? You know, what did he do? Did he say, crowds, you know, it's bad. I got to get away from that. Well, we see in Matthew chapter 9 here. First of all, Jesus is in the synagogues. Doing things first. That's a bit of a surprise, you might say. Synagogues were imperfect. They were maybe a little bit far away from God. Nevertheless, that's where people gathered to do two things. Praise God, hear God's word. When the early church was given birth by the Lord, Christians continued in that same pattern. Hey, let's gather. Let's praise God together. Let's hear God's word. So we kind of, you know, took the best of the synagogue and put it into the church, the Lord being the center of it. In the Bible, in the gospel, surprisingly, synagogues are mentioned 43 times. Places where, oh, God's doing this. There was trouble over here. Oh, there was a demon in this synagogue, you know. Jesus healed over here in this one, and so forth. Churches, which is a parallel, okay, 120 times in the Bible, churches mentioned. So, church is a big deal to God, and church is a big deal to Christians. Okay, if Jesus worked in the synagogues, he's going to work in the local church. Try to make that a high level of priority in your soul, in your love for God and love for people. You know, New Year, a lot of Christians say, I'm going to go through the Bible in a year. That's a good thing to give it a shot, you know. Read so many chapters a day. Through the Bible in a year. Here's one to add to that that will also enrich your soul, I would say, equally. Through the church in a year. You know, let's see. Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to other times. And you might say, that. But it's a vehicle, the body of Christ, through which Jesus will love you and build you up. And mostly you to help others also. So Jesus, he's in the synagogues. That was a lot just on point number one. He sees the people and says, this is the harvest. It's a big crowd. Okay, what crowds do you see? Crowds at the store. Jesus looks at them. He sees them. You know, you can minister to people where you're at. In the schools. Cafeteria crowd. That's either chaotic or despairing in the cafeteria. Church. Crowds in the church. You're in my pew. You know, move over. Good to have a crowded pew. Don't feel bad if you don't have a crowded pew. Just move to the next one next week, or better yet, get other people in there. Okay? Crowds in the pew, crowds on the street, crowds in the hospital. A lot of crowds in the hospital. Crowds at the funeral home. Crowds in the nursing home. Packed in. Don't want to be there. Crowds in children's hospital. The call to care. Jesus sees the crowds. He has compassion on them. Crowds not in church. Jesus sees the crowds. He has compassion on them. And so we're sent to the people. And who are the crowds? Who's this harvest? They're harassed and helpless. You know, hurting, disturbed, and in despair. Worried and weary. A lot of trouble in the soul. Blessings, yes, which we'll see. Troubles, yes, for sure. Harassed and helpless. That's us today. We came to Christ because we were harassed and helpless. And he sees that. And even as his children, he sees when we're like that. And he has compassion on us. So his heart goes out to us. The crowds are made in God's image. Therefore, they get unconditional respect. Don't have to do anything. Don't have to be like us. Don't have to be a hard worker. Don't have to, you know, clean up your act. You are made in God's image, and that person is too, and so they get unconditional respect. That'll change your relationships in a strong way. It'll start in a home, community, and then to the harvest. Okay. And that's a Bible perspective. You won't get that anywhere else other than the Bible. Basically, the world says, respect people who deserve respect. You know, they gotta work for it. You gotta earn it. If you don't earn it, I'm gonna kick dirt on you, you know. God says, oh no, I made them in my image. So, that's the crowds. Jesus has compassion on them. A couple other things about the crowds. Loved by God and Jesus dying in their place offering eternal life to each dear one, you and I, and people we know. And then Jesus blesses them every day. Don't minimize this. This is a bridge to good news. In Acts chapter 14, Paul's preaching to folks who don't know the Lord, and he says this: God has not left himself without a testimony. In other words, God's talking to people all day today, all over the place. You and me, Giant Eagle, wherever. God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown his kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops and seasons, and he provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. You know, something as you're just relating to people in the everyday life. What are you eating there? You know, it's a junior Whopper. What's on there? You know, oh, you got the ketchup, mustard, pickles, cheese. It's fantastic. You know, I mean, you just look at it. And then, where'd that come from? You know, God gives us all kind of wonderful food there. You could share that with somebody eating away. What things in life bring you joy? You say, oh, my family, or this hobby, or, you know, whatever it is. And you could say, you know, God gives you that joy. He fills your heart with joy. No. Yeah. You're giving them how things really are. And you just say it in your own words, you know, bringing good news of what God's doing in a person's life to himself, eventually leading toward the goodness of his son. So, God blesses the people. That's all under that. And what does Jesus do? He has compassion. That's how God feels about you this morning. Compassionate Savior, looking at the crowd. He looks at the Middle East, predominantly Muslim. And what does he do? He says, compassion. Got to get the people out of Islam and toward the Savior. Okay. And he's effective at doing that. Jesus has compassion on the people. And how does he get to them? In his outreaching to them, he has love for them. Love has been called the greatest apologetic. Now, how many have taken apologetics courses? Raise your hand. I think about half of us, probably. You'll learn some things that are solid, true, to, you know, the Bible, reliable, and so on, share with somebody. Robbie Zacharias, who does that really well, if you Google that quote, his name comes up, because I think he said it first. So here's a guy who's a great thinker, you know, PhD plus, and he loves to tell people the reasons to believe. But he says, you know, the greatest apologetic is love, your love for somebody else. I remember when I was a young Christian, I didn't hardly know anything about the Lord other than he can sure, you know, change a life and forgive sins. That's about all I knew. I knew he was the Son of God. I didn't know what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were. Somebody said, turn to Psalms. I thought it was Palms. I didn't even have half a Bible. I mean, I knew this much. But I sure did love people because Christ loved me. And you know, as a young Christian who hardly knew squat about the book, I sure told a lot of people about the Lord as much as I knew and tried to show, you know, his love. So, and now, well, I know 1,000 times more than I did back when I was a young Christian. I mean, I know too much, you know, details that I'll never use. And I don't know if my love has also grown. I don't know. You'll have to ask my friends and family. They'd probably say, you know, you were a lot more loving when you were, when you just loved the Lord. That's not an argument for ignorance. That's the compassion of Jesus saying, look, he could use you who knows him, who is loved by him, to pass on the good news that he is. And so, love, the greatest apologetic. It was Jesus had compassion on the crowds, felt very strongly about them at the gut level. He does. And then he says, he tells the disciples, ask the Lord of the harvest, then send out workers. And, of course, all of us are those kind of workers. I think for us, as we go on another year of a great adventure, some things are true. You're a love letter from God. God will be effective through you. Those disciples were, you know, they had a lot of flaws and troubles, but God used them. He uses you every day. Have a confidence in God. He really does use you. You're sent by God. That makes you real, you know, special delivery kind of person. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're the salt of the earth. Have a confidence in what God's doing, how he'll use you as a servant of his. And you won't even have to know it, you know. That's God's call on your life. Paul said this. He wanted to finish the race, complete the task God had given him, testifying to the good news of God's grace. And so you think, well, what am I going to be doing this year, you know? Your life will be a real Bible that people will read. And God will work through you. So take heart. Ask God for the compassion. Ask him to send you to dear people in your life. He strategically placed you. And in the midst of it all, remember that your love for people and your relationship with them is much, much more important than any strategy you could come up with. Okay, you might have a strategy. If I do this way and do this that way, then someone will. Strategies are good. But more important than strategy is your relationship with people, God's love for you, loving them, and the Lord brings it to pass. In closing, I was going to, with you, and you let God bring groups to your mind. Jesus asked these 12 to do this, so we'll kind of do this in a little prayer exercise before we have communion. Send out workers into his harvest field. Notice he says the harvest is plenty. For some of us, when we think of heaven, we love the words, narrow door, few chosen. I don't know why Jesus said that, so, you know, it's okay to love that. So we love the idea of heaven, narrow door, few chosen. But notice Jesus also said, plentiful harvest. When we think of heaven, can we think plentiful harvest? When you think of heaven, can you think of vast multitude, no one can count? Okay. When you think of heaven, can you think of gave his life a ransom, not for few, but for many? Many. God loves, he's into the many. He's into the crowds. And so might our heart be like that as Jesus is. And we'll pray for different aspects of our life together and God sending us. Let's pray as his people. Lord, you ask that we pray for workers to be sent into the harvest. We just think of different aspects of our lives. We say, oh Lord, send us. Send us as worshipers. Send us in neighborhoods, in work, in schools. Lord, send those workers into the harvest. Lord, we pray you would send teenagers into the harvest. Veteran Christians. Know the Lord a lot. Love the Lord a lot. Lord, send teenagers into the harvest. Lord, send out Awana into the harvest. Happy children. Active children. Sent into the plentiful harvest field. Lord, send out youth and Bible quizzers into the harvest. A lot of young folk harassed and helpless. Help them to know it's plentiful, the need. Lord, send out Sunday school, church boards into the harvest. Folks in the Word, folks serving well. Send them into your harvest. Lord, send out deaconesses, deacons, pastors, disciple-making councils into the harvest. May we see together people. May we have the compassion of Jesus in us as we look around. Send us into the pews. And whoever you send us to meet, hear our silent prayers about your great adventure.